Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Hello, thank you for listening to the Finding Your Village podcast. My name is Amanda Gorman and I'm your host. Today we are going to be talking about pediatric functional medicine. And our guest to talk about this is Dr. Juliana Nahas, and she is a board-certified integrative pediatrician and functional medicine expert. Her practice is in Covington, Georgia, where she and her team use conventional and functional medical knowledge to treat diverse symptoms and conditions in children. Today, she and I are going to discuss what functional medicine is and how it can be especially helpful for children with chronic medical conditions. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, Dr. Juliana Nahas. How are you?
Hi, Amanda. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a real honor. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's an honor for me to have you on the show. So just to kick things off, I was wondering if you could tell all the listeners a little bit about you and your background.
Yeah. So I've been a doctor, a pediatrician for over 26 years now. And I've been in Georgia about 22 of those years. I worked around the country before then, and I trained in Vermont. That's where I did my residency. So I am a board certified pediatrician. However, about 12 years or so ago, I became ill. I developed what we consider now fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue. And in doing my own research and my own, you know, my own knowledge in medicine, and also seeking the help of my colleagues, we just couldn't pierce the veil. We couldn't figure out what was causing this change in my physical being. And so I started researching other modalities, obviously, because I didn't get answers from my modality, right? So I looked at energy medicine, and I looked at other holistic kind of pathways, and finally stumbled on functional medicine and decided to try it out. And really on my own, I made some improvements, but not the whole way. So I decided to seek the help of a doctor and a nutritionist team who did functional medicine solely. And literally within 3 months of that 4 month program, I was completely better.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was a phenomenal turnaround. We changed lifestyle, we changed diet, we took some supplements, and worked on mindset a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. But it was such a pronounced recovery that I was amazed. Like, how come I didn't know this before? How come our Western medicine training didn't teach us this? This is so essential. So that started me on a journey of researching, how can I bring this to my patients, you know, my kiddos that I see in clinic. Now, most of the kids are healthy and robust and full of energy and vibe, but some had some chronic issues, you know, and as the years have progressed, I'm only seeing those problems increase. So the incidence of autism is increasing. So is ADHD. So is obesity. For the first time in 5 years, I'm seeing kids with arthritis and diabetes.
Wow.
The diabetes, like the type 2 diabetes is increasing. So those are all chronic illnesses, if you will, that are lifestyle induced. And I'm really passionate now about bringing what I know to these families to help them recover their kids.
That is so cool to hear that. And, you know, along those lines, what would you say is now your core mission, given you integrating the functional medicine into your conventional pediatric practice?
Yeah, I'd love to bring to the fore that with ADHD, for example, you know, once we diagnose those kids, we're committing them to a lifetime of taking medications, at least throughout their adolescent years and into young adulthood. As long as they're in school, they can't focus and do well, even though they're very smart kids. And so we need to help them focus so they can get the grades, right? But a lot of them have side effects. The medicines are not benign.
Right.
From weight loss to, you know, stunted growth to headaches to abdominal pain, it causes some serious side effects. And that's a day-to-day life for them.
Yeah.
So for parents who can see the light with me, if you will, and understand that that's not the best thing for your child, even though it is a method, mm-hmm. it's not the only method. And by doing functional medicine, by testing to see what is the underlying cause that is making this child not focus, you know, maybe they were always that way, but maybe there's been a change in their mental capacity. So by digging deeper and going to the root causes of what's triggering their condition, I can then target that root cause and fix it. And then all the symptoms that follow are gone. They just disappear and those kids function better. Yeah.
Okay. So then what is the core difference between functional medicine and conventional medicine?
Yeah, it's a very different philosophy. Conventional medicine looks at acute cause, acute problems. So you stub your toe and your toe is bleeding, or you have an ear infection or strep throat. It's more like there's a quick onset problem and we have a quick onset solution. When we go into chronic conditions, things that linger for years and months and so on, it's not the best medicine. So we have pills, and the pharma companies produce a lot of medicines every year and charge a premium for them. But those are synthetic components. They're not natural. And our bodies have reactions to these medications, right? And sometimes one medicine can create another problem. Then you need a second medicine and a third medicine and a fourth medicine to sort of suppress the side effects. So it becomes a downward spiral.
Yeah.
And still the patient doesn't feel any better, right? So that's the default, if you will, of acute care or Western medicine. We're great at surgery, at traumas, at acute care. It's wonderful. You get COVID. Yes, we can fix it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's not the only way. So what I'm finding with functional medicine is more of a root cause discovery. We look at the person really holistically. We look not only at their physical body and the organ systems, but we look at their cellular energy and function. We do testing to understand the physiology of those cells and how everything is working. We look at deficiencies, whether it's vitamin or mineral or nutrient deficiencies or toxins like mercury and lead and other toxins in the environment. There's many, many more, you know, venues, if you will, avenues to look into with functional medicine. So it's much more comprehensive. And really, a lot of my colleagues say it's really just good medicine.
Yeah.
So it's not woo-woo. It's not airy fairy, although I totally believe in energy medicine. It's much more scientific and down to earth and very practical and really like a detective. We just hone in and try to discover what is the trigger, what is going on, what has built up maybe over the years that now this is expressing in such a way as a disease.
That's fascinating. How do you go about doing that? How do you find out about the toxins? And you had mentioned, you know, discovering at the cellular level. What does that look like?
Yeah, it starts with a good history. So with my intake, I'll spend about 90 minutes with the family trying to understand the mom and dad's health and their ancestral health. And then we look at pregnancy and what happened during pregnancy, then during the birthing process. And then afterwards, what's been the life of the child? What illnesses have they had? How many antibiotics have they had, et cetera, to try and determine how many of those trigger points, you know, contributed to what we're seeing right now. It starts there.
Okay.
And the next step would be to do some further testing. So we can do blood chemistries like we do with traditional medicine. We send them to LabCorp or Quest and we get all these different blood tests. But I do a certain panel. So it's a very comprehensive panel. We're looking at thyroid. We're looking at the liver, the kidneys, the bone marrow. We're looking at minerals and toxins in the blood as well. And we look at ratios as well as antibodies. So ratios of chemicals, you know, they need to be in balance. If they're out of balance, that's not good. And antibodies to certain tissues in the body or certain, you know, panel that we like to look for. And then you have the non-covered tests. So these are non-covered by insurance. These are out-of-pocket tests because these labs are specialty labs. Mm-hmm. And depending on the profile of the child, I will choose different labs.
Sure.
You know, customize what we look for. There are certain tests that I do pretty much on everyone, but there's nothing set in stone. And it's always a discussion with the family, you know, what can you afford and what should we focus on first and so on and so forth. So I'll do urine testing. Mm-hmm. We look for byproducts of the neurologic or neuropeptides in the urine. We look at mitochondrial peptides as well and how the mitochondria is functioning in the cell. And as you know, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell. It's the engine of the cell. And we have trillions and trillions of mitochondria, just as we have trillions and trillions of bacteria and viruses in our gut that help keep our gut functioning well, like the microbiome. So because of that, we also do stool testing to look at the microbiome and see what's going on in there. And finally, we can do, you know, a blood test that looks at amino acids and proteins and fatty acids, because that balance is very critical also to the functioning of the mitochondria.
And what are you finding with doing the specific panel that you're doing?
We look for patterns, to be honest, not just a one-off, but I'm looking at patterns in those tests that may suggest a disruption or a deficiency or an excess of a certain agent, whatever we're looking at. So for example, if on the organics acid test, which is the urine test, if I see a very low xanthuronate level or a very high xanthuronate level, both of those are actually deficiencies of B6, vitamin B6. Okay. When it's on the high end, it's available in the bloodstream, but the body is not absorbing it. And when it's on the low end, it's just not available. But either way, they need more of it, because we have to almost, in the high end, we have to push the reaction into forcing the body to now utilize the B6, because there's so much more of it around. Yeah. So it's a fine tuning. I mean, it's an art and a science, to be honest.
Sure.
I've spent years training with several mentors to understand how to interpret these tests and how to best prescribe supplements and nutrients and diets and lifestyle changes, so that we can see the corrections. My daughter, recently I ran a hormone profile on her. She's 18 and she's in college, and there's a lot of stress this year with going to college with all that's been changed, right? And so her stress levels were high, but you know what? From her panel, I could tell she's coping. So even though her stress markers are super high and her female hormones are erratic, she's still coping with the stress. And I know what to do to balance her female hormones. So with that picture, I can give her more what we call their hormone balancers, like ashwagandha and phosphatidyl serine and some of these nutrients that just help to balance your adrenals. So I can give her that and help her go through her day smoothly, not feel like there's a tiger chasing her all the time.
Yeah.
And as far as her
adaptogens, hormones, those are what they're called, adaptogens.
Adaptogens, that's it. I just like the underwork. Thanks. But we use extracts from yam for the estrogen and progesterone. So it's a natural component that we use in drop format. It's not synthetic. The body doesn't see it as foreign, because really, when you go to a regular conventional OBGYN, they're going to give you equine estrogen, equine progesterone. Well, we're not horses, last I checked. So our body doesn't recognize those hormones very well and rejects it to some extent. We have side effects. So that's why I'm so fond of these yam extract hormones. They're much more naturally absorbed by the body, and you just feel better just by using them without all the side effects.
Where do you find those?
I use a dispensary called Full Script.
Okay.
So it's a national, really international dispensary now. And they harvest supplements from all these different wonderful manufacturers that make supplements, you know, for the functional and naturopathic society. So I find everything there, and it's easy. They ship directly. I don't have to store anything in my shop. And I, you know, you get stuff that's premium. Yeah, it's fullscript.com.
Good to know. I'll put that in the show notes too, if anybody else is interested.
Right.
Wonderful. So do you have any anecdotes, without sharing any actual information about anybody, just about kind of some success stories that you've seen, not only in yourself or your family, but just overall in moving from this more conventional, you know, only conventional model to moving to integrating the two?
Well, I'll start with the newborns. So many of the newborns I'm seeing now are either born by C-section or their mothers are choosing not to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. And we know that it's much better for the baby to be born vaginally. When they pass through the birth canal, they're getting the microbiome of the mother. When they're born through C-section, they're getting the microbiome of the hospital. And it's not the healthiest of microbiomes. So,
could you explain that a little bit more? Because I've heard about that, but I'm not sure that that is a super well-known fact.
Not in the conventional arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is more on the functional side. So the vaginal birth canal of a mother has a balance of bacteria that when the baby passes through, their gut is virgin still in the womb. But when they pass through the birth canal, these bacteria now colonize their nose and their mouth, and they're swallowing the fluids. And that slowly starts to set up a stable garden variety of healthy bacteria for the baby's gut. And that's the first thing, you know, it's whatever first colonizes the gut that takes hold as the settler. Right? Any future bacteria that come in are just invaders, and the settlers are going to fight them off. So it's very important to have that first influence from the mother's biology, but it's not always possible. Some babies would die if they weren't delivered by C-section. So one technique people have used is to take a vaginal swab of the mother's fluid and swab the nose as soon as the baby's delivered by C-section. So they actually colonize artificially, and that does the same thing. If that's missed, then we have to resort to buying over-the-counter oral probiotic drops, and those are not as varied, right? It's maybe one strain, maybe two. There's not as much variety. So you don't get the same impact, but it's better than nothing.
Sure.
When you breastfeed, you have bacteria on your skin. That's also part of the microbiome that the baby inherits. So breastfeeding is so essential in those first few hours and few days of the baby's life. But I encourage breastfeeding for the long haul, for 6 months to a year, because we know that's the best milk for the baby. And that's the best nutrient they can get.
Another thing that has impacted my family, speaking of how birth can impact a baby's microbiome and just kind of how that gut flora is established, something that happened to me in both of my births for both of my children is I was GBS positive. And so I elected, and it was recommended by both the hospital that I delivered my daughter at and the birth center that I delivered my son at, it was recommended that I get antibiotics while I'm in labor because of the GBS positive. And so I know that that's another thing that can impact, you know, chronic health issues. And so I have noticed that, you know, my daughter might potentially have asthma. My son, he has had eczema. And I have wondered, you know, if that introduction to those antibiotics during their labor process, if that has that's impacted that.
So that's one event. You want to look at your whole history. You want to look at your hereditary history. Does asthma run in the family, for example, or not? You know, so it's not just the one thing that impacts the body. We're quite resilient. It's a number of things.
Okay.
So we're looking at a chain over time of insults and injuries to the body.
That's important.
And I think now that they're older, you can still give them good mix of probiotics, you know, choose something that's over 5 billion colony forming units and multiple strains in the brand. I have a favorite, BioGaia is one brand I use a lot.
Your favorite? Okay.
Yeah, because people can find it If you go through full script, there's way more, but not many people on introduction want to go to the dispensary. They just try to go to CVS and buy something. Yeah. So over on the market, you have Culturelle, you have Mommy's Bliss, you have BioGaia, and BioGaia is probably the leader because of the elements that they put, the different strains that they put in there.
Because they have multiple strains and so many, billions.
So doing that for a couple of months can even boost your children. Another favorite of mine, and that one you probably need to buy on full script, is Saccharomyces boulardii. Saccharomyces is a yeast, but it's not one of those yeasts that causes harm in our body. It's actually scavenger yeast. So it goes in and eats other yeast. So if you have candida infestation, it helps to overcome that. It also eats debris and dead cells and dead bacteria. So it's a good scavenger cleanser probiotic. I use it a lot against C. difficile. So for people who have that C. difficile colonization on their stool test, for example, we will use Sac Boulardii to clean that up as opposed to using antibiotics. We can use antibiotics, but I usually try the natural way first. If that doesn't work, then we can go to the antibiotics.
So on that note, if you don't mind me asking this tangent question, why do you err on the side of going the natural route before going to antibiotics?
It's easier on the body. There's less side effects, if there are any. Usually we don't see any side effects, but if there are any, they're much milder and much easier to correct. You just lower the dose of what you're taking and allow the body to catch up. With an antibiotic, it's sort of like the big, I'm thinking of that bug spray that you shoot wasps with, right?
Yeah.
It's just massive. It just kind of kills everything in its way. It's not selective. With the natural herbs and remedies, it's more selective. So we can say we're going to use berberine or a little bit of, oregano, what have you, in a combination. And that's much more selective against the certain bugs we're trying to eliminate, as opposed to all the microbiome that's beneficial to us. We don't want to hurt those.
Yeah. Because then when you do take antibiotics, it's going to, like you said, eliminate everything, including the good bacteria. Okay, that makes sense. I have erred on that side, but since I have you on the line, I thought I would ask a doctor what your opinion was.
Right. And, my hope is that more and more pediatricians come to this conclusion that, yes, we have powerful agents we can use at our disposition, but we don't always need them first line. We can take our time and maybe try things that are milder and more natural and see if the child adapts to it or not. We don't have to take our big guns right off the bat.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's a gentler approach, I think.
So then with your practice, since you have the two integrated, the conventional medicine, the functional medicine, how does it look for your patients who come to you for both, like with the well-child checkups, for instance?
Yeah, for most of my patients who've been existing patients, they don't really know that I do something different unless the situation comes up. So I'll mention it here and there that I do functional medicine, but a lot of times if people have never heard the term, they don't understand how that's any different than what I'm already doing. So I don't harp on it, but it is in my toolbox. And I am starting now to see patients only for functional medicine, so they don't see me for their primary care anymore. They have other primary care, but they're coming to me for that functional piece because there's not many of us who do it in Georgia.
I see.
Yeah. So that's exciting for me because I can really, roll my sleeves and go deep on the science there. As far as for my traditional practice, we still do everything like normal, like the Academy of Pediatrics recommends. So we still do the wellness visits, the developmental milestones. We still immunize. We still offer everything that a traditional clinic offers. Nuance in mind is that I also offer this other approach. And when I'm confronting or facing a patient who's newly diagnosed with autism, let's say, I show both of my cards to the parents. So the traditional card is, I can't help you. The only thing I can do for you is you go get therapy and good luck. With the functional card, I can make a huge difference in your child. I can recover your child.
Wow.
So which one do you pick? No, any sane person will pick the functional, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so excited about it, because to be honest, for years, my heart would sink when I would see an autistic child. I just felt so sad that I have nothing to offer this child to make them better. But now I do, and I can make them so much better. I mean, with diet alone, I've seen kids recover their speech.
Wow.
You know, they don't recover all their autism features, but at least we get them talking, we get them communicating, there's more eye contact. So there's a semblance of a human again, you know, there. The interaction's much more connected and live.
Wow. And are you, when you work within the functional side, are you working with a team of, you know, other practitioners like occupational therapists or anything like that? Like, how does the team dynamic work?
I wish. I don't have a team in my clinic, so I do refer out.
Okay.
And that's covered by insurance. So really, I'm trying to do everything that allows the parents to maximize their insurance usage. So my time is covered by insurance. The OT, ABA therapy, all these speech therapists all take insurance. Really, what's left is just doing the testing and doing the supplements that the parents need to, you know, figure out, can we afford that?
Okay. And for a patient that has autism, when you say just making this diet change, is that something that you're having a conversation with the parents about, or are you also referring them to a nutritionist?
I'm doing the conversation right now. I have books from nutritionists who are specialized in autism, so I can refer the parents to buy these books and use those cookbooks,
sure.
You know, alongside of what I'm giving broad strokes and just high level advice. But to get into the nitty gritty of recipes and all that, I use the books because they're vetted by the nutritionist. I have long distance coaches I can use, but I haven't used them much because insurance doesn't pay them. And a lot of times our population of parents don't have the money to pay for cash.
Sure.
But I do have a long distance team if I need to use them.
That's really cool. I mean, I just think that it is so neat that you are so invested in utilizing, you know, other practitioners outside of medicine, not just, you know, functional or conventional, but just these other practitioners and partners like, you know, occupational therapists, for instance, like you mentioned,
yes.
Or nutritionists. I just think that it's great that you recognize the value of that.
Oh, very much so. You know, my field and my genius is in understanding the testing and showing the path, shining the light on what needs to be fixed. But I can't do the fixing. So I have to be the detective that says, this is the problem. This is how we fix it. And then all these other people will help you get there.
That is really cool. I like how you call yourself the detective.
It is what I'm doing.
Yeah. It absolutely is. That makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you've explained and for your expertise and especially for the work that you're doing. I mean, I also live in Georgia and have little kids and am so appreciative to know that there are doctors that when they rub up against something that doesn't feel right, that you're saying, okay, what can I do? I just think that's really commendable.
Yeah. And for people like you, my goal, because there's really one other pediatrician who's a functionally trained doctor in Georgia. So my goal is to now utilize virtual medicine as a platform to help minimize travel and so on. The first session I feel we should have in person, but then follow-up sessions we can do virtually as easily as anything. And it's helpful for the parents. I also have apps that we can text message each other and it's HIPAA compliant. And I can provide support and coaching between our visits as well. So this is part and parcel of functional medicine, is there's a lot of coaching involved.
That's really helpful to kind of, bridge that gap between the visits. Awesome. Well, is there anything else that we haven't touched on today that you would like to touch on?
We covered a lot. I think, you know, I'm just excited to have this modality that other people may not know about, but it's so important to start getting the word out. That's why I'm here with you today to try to spread the good word out. And it's one of many modalities, just like conventional medicine is one of many modalities. We don't need to throw anything out, you know, with the bathwater, as they say. They're all useful in their own ways, just for the consumer to understand what is useful when, right? Like we don't need to... Conventional medicine doctors don't need to advertise. We can just say, I'm an internist or I'm a pediatrician or I'm a rheumatologist, and people know what that means. But for functional medicine, we don't know what that means. So we're having to do a little bit more teaching and education on social media, webinars, on my website, et cetera. And it's a different way of functioning. So, you know, it's about getting the word out at this point and educating the consumer so that they can make an informed decision.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And I really appreciate it. And I am so glad that Finding Your Village can be a platform to explain a little bit more about what pediatric functional medicine is. So thank you.
I really appreciate this. I really thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. To hear past episodes of the podcast, go to www.findingyourvillagepod.com or subscribe anywhere that you listen to your podcast. Take care and have a great day.